sometimes I don't know what to do with myself. Passion takes over me. Feel like a man going insane. Lose my brain trying to make.
Alafia, Harambe Radio listeners, this is our brother Baye Kemet. We're here live with the Liberated Zone, and the Liberated Zone airs every Monday at 9 p.m., and this is a space where African people are free in the Liberated Zone to express their philosophies, their ideologies, and their paradigms of practice. Before we begin today and open up with our guests, I have my son. What is your name?
I think you were Kemet.
And he is going to open up libation with us in the tradition of the Yoruba people. And we're going to begin. Moja, Billy, Atu.
Omi tutu, anatutu, ile tutu, onatutu, onatutu, tutu lariye, tutu egungu, tutu emi, tutu oru, tutu eri, tutu yinzo, tutu yami, kosi ku, kosi arun, kosi akuba, kosi seju, kosi ding, Kosi Egu, Kosi Zatibu, Kosi Lasan, Kosi Jamba, Kosi Dina, Kosi Rore, Aiko Owa, Iba Olodumare,
Iba Shere,
Iba Orula,
Iba Shere,
Iba Shere, Bobo Orisha,
Iba Shere,
Iba Shere, Bobo Ogunu,
Iba Shere, All right. Harambe listeners, we have with us tonight a wonderful, wonderful African family, and I'm excited to have on the show tonight Brother Mansho Edu and his lovely wife, Nawashi Edu. Are y'all there?
Okay, yes, and fine, greetings fine. To the family. Greetings to Harambe Radio. We're much pleased to be present and to share with the African family.
Ashe. All right, Harambe listeners, this is an exciting night for me because Brother Mansho and Sister Nawasha are very close brothers and sisters and friends to the Kemet family and to the Garvey School Ego Omode Shule family. And just to give you a brief history of my connection to them, and then I'm going to allow them to open up, introduce themselves, and introduce why we are here tonight talking about the Akoma House Initiative. But Brother Mansho Edu and I go back to early days of childhood, and we were running around together in camp, and then we grew up later on, and somewhere around the time when I was 18, Mansho was a few years older. We were a part of a consortium of brothers who started a mentorship program here in the city of Trenton called Mansho and Tundu. And there was a collection of about 11 to 12 brothers that came together and saw that there was something that needed to be done with young black boys in the city of Trenton. And although it was a one-summer initiative, from that activity sprang various ideals and philosophies. Well, I would say about a good almost 8 years later, Mansho and I, or maybe even later than that, Mansho and I founded the Garvey program, which was guiding a revitalized vision for every youth. And that itself was a rites of passage program, which lasted for, what, about 3 years, brother?
Yes.
Two or three years, right. And so we actually went through what was junior three at the time, which is now Holland Middle School, and said to them, give us your toughest, roughest young boys. Give them to us, and we'll refine them, and we'll give them back to you as quality young men, you know, really not understanding the depth of the family structure, the street community structure, those things we really didn't mind. We didn't really take too much into account to, but basically, we wanted to work with these young men. And so we worked with them over a series of weeks and summers, coming out of our pocket for the most part, receiving some money from a local community center. But, again, that program evolved into the Garvey School, which is the school, the independent school, which I am the principal, founder and principal of, and subsequently became the movement for many of the programs that Mansho has worked on either individually and then collectively with his wife, Nawasha.
Right.
And then on the flip side, his wife, Nawasha, was a teacher in Walimu at our Shule, at the Garvey School, Egun Omade Shule. And she has also worked with our summer program, and they are the godparents to our youngest daughter, Kanke. And so we are, this is bigger than just a professional interview. This is a personal family African bonding session, and I'm excited to have y'all on. Peace and blessings. And again, thank you all for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. And, you know, the introduction, just listening to the introduction was going down memory lane. And, you know, I think the one thing that you said that really sums it up is that, you know, like many of us, where we are today is the culmination of the experience, the combined experiences that we've had as, you know, as individuals and then collectively as family and a greater community. And, you know, we individually as threads, you know, become the collective fabric of our people. And the story that you just told really took me on a visual trip of that.
Right.
You know, and you know, us, we are the Acoma House Initiative. And the Acoma House Initiative is basically a culturally based counseling and consulting firm that offers, we do various special projects, but we offer a series of culturally based workshops and programs for the individual and the whole African family. We have a myriad of programs that kind of cover what we see as at least the basic needs of the entire family, spanning both sexes and age groups individually and collectively as a family unit. What we actually have began to get a little bit of notoriety for is Acoma Day. And Acoma Day basically is a black African holiday that was started here in North America that is the cultural alternative to Valentine's Day. And it really springs out of us trying to address the unique needs of black couples and black families, the source of black families being the black man and black woman, and their emotional, spiritual, psychological, and physical needs. And so we designed Acoma Day as a holiday that would speak to our needs internationally and holistically and would be a alternative to the Valentine's Day madness that we have been indoctrinated with throughout our lives. Because in this country, you know, we are very loving people throughout the diaspora and throughout the world, but in this country we're inundated with the image and concepts of love being shown and displayed through alien cultural concepts. And we wanted to kind of re-embrace our cultural and our natural expression in a righteous way. And so that is actually the thing that springboarded us into the actual Acoma House Initiative, the writing of the Acoma Day book and the establishing of the holiday. But now we've been blessed and the ancestors have shined upon us and we've actually grown into a whole a myriad of services that we try to offer for the family, for the entire black family.
That's right. All right, and so Sister Nawasha, Mama Nawasha, Ea Nawasha now, you all have you all have actually have an addition to the family, is that correct?
Yes, very proud, very proud.
All right, so you
Thaiwa Kamor Edu that just was born into the Edu family 6 weeks ago.
Right, but Nawasha, can you please just in a few words or so, just talk about how do we actually, as African people, begin to practice the Acoma Day, you know, activity on, let's say, is it on Valentine's Day? Is it one day? Is it a collection of days? Is it 365 days a year?
Mm-hmm.
How do we go about practicing the actual celebration?
Well, the celebration is It is 7 days. It's a collection of days, but we would practice it the entire year. It's along the lines of seven principles and seven virtues that you can really implement every day. The celebration, as it's outlined, you would take one principle and one virtue to just concentrate on for each of the 7 days, and then culminate reflecting on all of the virtues. So as it is, it starts on the 14th of February as the official celebration, and goes until the 20th of February. So the virtues are flexibility, patience, faithfulness, consistency, endurance, fondness and goodwill, and the principles are all about unification. So as the celebration for love is between a black man and a black woman, everything is unified. But for the family, it's the same way. So the principles are unified purpose that would be celebrated the first day with flexibility as the virtue. The second day is unified labor that's celebrated with the virtue patience. The third day would focus on unified transformation that goes along with the virtue faithfulness. The fourth day would be unified fruit that goes along with consistency. The fifth day is unified mind that goes along with the virtue endurance. The sixth day is unified body that goes along with fondness and goodwill. And then the last day is unified spirit that goes with the virtue forgiveness.
All right.
And those things are, as you and Monsho know from doing the rites of passage, there are some things that we're actually doing as black people that just need a small redirection and focus. So that's really the idea behind the celebration as an official celebration, because a lot of black people are celebrating Valentine's Day and spending a lot of money, a lot of mental focus, a lot of energy on all of the things that are associated with that holiday. And some of them have an aspect of the truth, but just need for us to redirect our focus so that we can make sure that we're doing something that is promoting the family and promoting the real virtues around love.
All right. And so I've seen your setup, your personal setup, and I've also seen the setup on a commercial, I guess, in a professional sense. But can you tell the listeners how the actual shrine, or what are some of the implements, either one of you two can answer this, what are some of the implements that goes on the actual shrine and why you chose those implements?
Sure. We can, first, before I say that, I just want to speak to just, again, what Nawash said, which we think is really, really important, because as we began to move around the country, we have actually, had the opportunity to speak with a lot of our people. And, again, the concept of love is universal. Mostly you'll be hard-pressed to find some people who can't understand that concept. But what is extremely important for our people to understand is that whatever it is we're doing, whether it's basic food, clothing, shelter, or the extended things that we do in our daily life, the way we speak to one another, and especially the way we express love, it is extremely important for us as a people to put our expressions of love in a context that is innately ours. Because especially here in America, we're living with this dual consciousness that turns our psyche inside out, because we're trying to exist. Our nature tells us to exist as we naturally are, but we're existing in a culture with information that is opposed to what we are. And so what happens is that we're turned inside out in our everyday approach to things that are more elevated, all the way down to the very mundane things like how do we as black people, men and women, express our love to one another. If we look what is popular in American culture, we see all these reality shows and everybody's searching for love and all of these other symbols of ridiculousness that we begin to follow almost unconsciously, because we're just inundated with these concepts. And what happens is there becomes an internal struggle where you know that you're supposed to exemplify and celebrate love, but you don't know how to do it, and you don't know what is innately yours. And also, we have a problem understanding what things are really contradictory or not beneficial to our existence. And so we get caught up in this this whirlpool, or I should say cesspool, of misinformation and just cultural assassination as black people, and we take part in it. And it's really sad, because at our nature, we want to express love, which is a natural thing. And so I just wanted to say that. But to answer your question, the symbols of the Akoma Day holiday include many things. And the first thing is the Akoma. And I guess what our people, the Akoma is actually an Adinkra symbol. It's a term from that comes from the Akan people from Ghana, West Africa, and it is the symbol that we commonly know as the heart. And I guess even this concept best exemplifies, you know, all of what I just said. We don't know this symbol as the Akoma. We know it as the heart. And as we have moved around the past 2 years, we've been really up and down the East Coast. When we're presenting the holiday, the movement, the whole idea of the Akoma House Initiative, people receive the symbology initially because we all have an understanding of what we believe the heart to be. But when you begin to talk to people and you tell them, number one, hey, this is an African symbol, that's enlightening to people of all races, but especially it has an empowering, it's an empowering and enlightening feeling to our people. But we talk about the symbology of the Akoma, like many Adinkra symbols and other African symbols from our beautiful traditions. They're layered, so there's many, many interpretations or understandings of the Akoma. But one that we like to elucidate to the people is that if you can imagine the symbol, the Akoma symbol, the heart symbol, at the bottom point, what we talk about is the understanding that it symbolizes the spiritual origin of man and woman. And then if you could move upward, you could follow the concept that man and woman come from a spiritual origin that is in the same, that is the same. They move on separate tracks that are parallel to each other. They overcome the humps of life or the challenges of life that bring them back to, that point back to the spiritual center, which is the creator that we all come from. So if you could follow the concept of a heart from the bottom point up, and how the line separates and turns into two humps, and then it incaves, it has a concave point back to the origin where it came from. That is actually one of the many understandings of what this symbol means. And it's a much more beautiful symbol, and it's a much more meaningful symbol for our people. And when you can just embrace and understand that this is an original symbol of ours, it has so much more meaning. And I, myself, after coming into the understanding, I never look at the symbol the same way. But that is one symbol. In the celebration of the holiday, we have some other symbols that symbolize the science of black love. And I'll let my wife.
Well, we have an altar to set up that if you are celebrating Akoma Day yourself or with your family or with a mate, that you would actually use the format of having an altar. Having the altar represents a surface that is the foundation for the love that you're trying to build or enrich or enhance. We have a cloth that goes over the altar that is going to be the protective covering of the love that you're building or the foundation of that love. Then we have the Adinkra symbols, the Akoma.
Is it a particular cloth or is it just any cloth?
Well,
is it a certain African fabric or just...
We prefer white linen.
Okay.
But that's a preference.
That's our personal preference.
But it's more along the lines of, as my husband was talking about, symbolic languages, and when we see symbols or when we see Meru-Neter or any of the other languages that we're familiar with as being more pictorial or more symbolic languages, it's the idea that each one of these things is what it really represents to us. So it could be a cloth that you made yourself. It could be a cloth that you purchased, something that's meaningful from something someone used to wear in your family. But we're saying white for the color, and we're saying linen for the natural fabric. But it's really, you know, your personal altar space and what it represents as being a protective veil for the foundation of your love in the type of environment that we're in, which is a foreign environment or a hostile environment. So the other Adinkra symbol that we use is the Sankofa, which is just the idea of going back into the past to learn from a lot of our challenges and to learn from positive things, productive things, but just the idea of not forgetting the past. We also have a libation cup for performing libation during the actual celebration each day. We have 7 candles. 3 representing passion, 3 representing love, and 1 representing purity and unification. So we have 3 red for passion, 3 pink for love, and 1 white candle for purity and unification. We do a pledge to ourselves and to our mate and to our family. And we also have some other symbols like the pyramid, a feather, for forgiveness, the pyramid for structure and foundation of love. We use a butterfly to represent grace and beauty and fluidity, a plant, which we specify as a bamboo plant, and then we have whatever personal keepsakes that would be relevant to you or your family or your relationship. Then we have fruit, and then we have the representations of the bitter, the sweet, and the bland that we would taste during the celebration to represent love's trials, love's triumphs, and then the consistency of black love.
Wow. You know, when you all first, you know, talked about developing this holiday, I recall, you know, thinking in my twisted, sick way, as we all are, as African people, overcoming what Dr. Joy Leary calls the post-traumatic slave syndrome.
That's
I think it passed through my mind like this is an alternative for another black holiday. But then that was like the first thought. But of course, as you all began to explain it to me, and I began to become more in tune with what you all were doing, and I came to a few of your events. And I actually purchased forcefully a copy of your book. No, I'm teasing. But I purchased a copy of the book, Akoma Day, a guidebook into the sacred science of soul mating and cultural alternative to Valentine's Day. I began to realize how important and how, I guess, of a godly vibration this celebration is. This is a godly celebration, and I see this celebration being on the scale of Kwanzaa. Now, it may not be in my lifetime, and it may not even be in your lifetime, but in the lifetime of the child that is in your hands right now,
right.
And because she and the rest of your children have to carry on the ashe of the vibration of this tradition, man,
right.
this is going to be big, not only because you are trying to insert something in the way of not simply because you're trying to insert something in the way of what Valentine's is not sharing, but because it is touching our people on a much higher vibration. It is bringing, and as you all talked about, and especially the way you are so clearly, alluded to or depicted the concept of the akuma and how it starts at the center. And as the man
right.
and the woman moves out, you know, this whole concept of African
right.
complementarity. So
right.
the vibration
right.
of the celebration is wonderful. And we have to go to break, but on the second half of the show, I want you all to get further into some of the activities and events that you all have done in you know, in relation to the celebration, how families should or could practice the celebration. I think you may have said it, but if you didn't say it, what day should they start? What are some of the ways
mm-hmm.
they should start moving into, you know, begin to celebrating the activity and those kind of things? So we're going to go to break right now. Again, I have on the show tonight Brother Moncho Edu and his wife, Nawasha Edu. And for all the Harambe listeners, I know I have Radia and Alexa listening and all the people here in Trenton, New Jersey. I want to give a shout-out to Brother Devon Allah. For all those who are listening, we want to tell you all to stay tuned for the second part of the show. Ashe, you are listening to The Liberated Zone.
Harambe, Harambe, Harambe.
Working
together
for
progress.
Feel the oneness of Harambe.
Keep it right there.
Keep
it right there.
Keep it right there.
Attention parents, teachers, students, and educators. Have you set high expectations and goals for achievement? Are you meeting those expectations? Let the Transformation Network, LLC, an educational advocacy and consulting company, help you. The Transformation Network team has years of proven experience in law, education, business, and advocacy. We want to inform you that we now offer online tutoring service for students 1st grade through 12th. Educational software and books targeting mathematics, science, and our story, and more. The Transformation Network is a socially responsible company that understands the challenges children and adults face when attaining educational goals. Please visit our website at www.theultimatelifechange.com or call 410-209-9687 in Baltimore or Maryland, D.C. Call 202-213-3141. We hope to see you at our upcoming Communiversity event in Baltimore on Saturday, June 20th, at Washington, D.C. at the Charter School Conference, Saturday, June 27th. In Baltimore, call 410-209-9687. In D.C. or Maryland, call 202-213-3141 or on the web at www.theultimatelifechange.com.
This is Delani Amon, thanking you for listening to Harambe Radio. Harambe, Harambe, Harambe.
Working together for progress.
Feel the oneness of Harambe.
Keep it right there.
Keep it right there.
Keep it right there.
All right, Harambe listeners, you are live with Baye Kemet. We are here at the Liberated Zone, and the Liberated Zone is a place where African people are free to express their ideologies, their philosophies, and their paradigms of practice. Tonight I have live on the show Brother Moncho Edu and his wife Nawasha Edu, and we're talking about the Akuma Initiative. And on the first part of the show, they so eloquently articulated the concept of Akuma Day and how they came about this concept of creating an alternative, a black alternative to Valentine's Day. But it is bigger than just a Valentine's Day alternative. And so what we want to do is we want to jump into having you all explain how you all came up with a concept to combat the oversaturation, the overcapitalization of a celebration based on love, and how you all have turned this into something much larger. So either Moncho or Nawasha, please, can you expound on that concept?
Well, speaking of the financial part of Valentine's Day, I think sometimes it's easy for certain members of our society to stop celebrating holidays once you learn how an American holiday either came about or what's involved in the actual celebration. So I think for us, we hadn't been celebrating Valentine's Day for decades, but really in finding out that in America, Valentine's Day is the second largest holiday where billions and billions of dollars are spent. At least $17 billion this year was spent on Valentine's Day. It really
wow.
makes you see how much is invested in the advertising for it, the products for it, and then our personal energy in going to get the products and giving them to each other with a kind of empty feeling, or the payoff is not what you really expect it to be because it's kind of hollow, the meaning for you. So we found out how much money in doing the research about an alternative is actually spent on Valentine's Day. And from that thought of how much money is spent, we realized that it's the adults spending the money, but that we're spending money for our children to start celebrating Valentine's Day in as early as kindergarten or preschool. Even babies are giving Valentine's gifts to their grandparents and their parents. Children are giving gifts to their teachers and celebrating things that are partially true, but that, again, are outside of your cultural context. So you're sending cards to other young boys or other young girls in your classroom without really understanding where that practice comes from and what it actually means. So for us to come from our relationship as an adult or as adults, down to our thinking about our children, we really wanted to have something that we can set up as a practice or a tradition for the entire family to understand how to go about the courting process or how to implement these virtues on a daily basis with anyone, whether it's your teacher, a classmate, a brother, a sister, and then to be in practice with showing love, so that by the time that you are at the age to court, you have an idea of how to go about it in a proper way, in a culturally relevant way, that's still where you have an opportunity to show how much you care about someone, to tell stories, to make cards, to give gifts with meaning and purpose, but just to be focused in the right way.
All right, Brother Moss, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think you know, my wife covered a lot of that well, and to add to that, going back to the things that you said about the break, and even all the way to the introduction when we first at the out started the show, the Acoma House Initiative is really it really is the culmination of our personal and collective relationships. But what we found is that when we came up with the idea to celebrate Acoma Day, we did it 2 years actually in our homes, and then we began to naturally, in the spirit of African unity, we wanted to share that with, you know, our close friends like the Kemet family and many others that we know. So we began to say, you know, let us establish some structural and cultural paradigms in which we can all relate to this holiday and have a framework that we could all put our personal style on, but that has a framework that speaks to our many glorious traditions and speaks to our people. So we began to do that. A lot of the concepts that my wife spoke to earlier, we chose the Swahili language to put around our concepts so that we can communicate everyday concepts or concepts that we can understand through an indigenous African language. But what we found was that what the pleasant surprise was is that Acoma Day grew into the Acoma House Initiative like this. We began to see that, as my wife had suggested earlier, the foundation of any relationships are all of an individual's personal relationships. Any relationship that I might have with you or my wife or my children is really not just that relationship. It is the culmination of my life experiences. And so as we begin to understand this and really see it firsthand in trying to share this holiday, the way that I related to some of the brothers like yourself and other great brothers that I respect and know was a little bit different than the way my wife might relate to some of the sisters that she began to share with. The way we educated the children about the holiday became different than the way we might deal with adults, because we know a loving relationship between two adults is very different than a relationship between two children or an adult and a child. And so what began to happen was that the Acoma House Initiative was born. And it is the covering of these concepts. We say you should celebrate the Acoma Day concepts all year. But how do you do that? So we developed a series of programs that spoke to us in our comfort zones or in the areas where we proliferate, you know, as sex amongst the greater African community. And so what came out of that was a series of programs. We have Acoma Sun, which is an acronym, S-U-N, which is Serving Under Inter, which represents a rites of passage program for men. We also have its African complement, Acoma Lady, L-A-D-E, which is living a divine existence for the young sisters and maturing sisters, because, as we know, the African initiation into manhood and womanhood is everlasting. We have Hip Hop Ma'at, which actually is a synergistic blend of nine elements of hip-hop culture with the moral ethical principles of Ma'at. We have Acoma Baby, which focuses on our African children from birth to 4 years old. It deals with baby Arianka and mother-child bonding and the family adjustments to the life of a returning ancestor coming back into the family. And so, and we also have the Acoma House, which is a self-discovery retreat where we take couples and we actually go into black-owned bed and breakfast like the Aquaba House, which we've been working with for the last couple of years. And it's an opportunity for the couples to get away, and we get the time to spend in a comfortable place where we can resolve conflicts, we can do planning, we can do goal setting, and we can look at the relationship from the foundation level, the man and the woman, and enjoy each other and share our ideals and challenges in a way that we can become collectively better. And so these programs actually evolved out of us trying to address how do we celebrate these principles every day. And now we've been blessed that the Acoma House Initiative is not just, although we're grateful that we've gotten so much response from the Acoma Day holiday and the book, but we're actually working throughout the year to try to address the needs of the entire black family. And, you know, it's really a blessing and something that we have grown tremendously as a result of.
All right, that's great. Before we forget, we haven't done it up to this point. Can we have some contact information for you? And we'll also do it again before we end the show, but so that people can contact you and learn a little bit more about the Acoma House Initiative, please.
Sure. Our website is www.acoma, A-K-O-M-A, House Initiative. So it's www.acomahouseinitiative.com. And you can find all of our contact information, email us from there, see excerpts of the book, How to Celebrate the Holiday, in a more official format, and you can find out some of the other programs that my husband was talking about, like the Acoma House or the Rites of Passage programs for the girls or the young men.
All right. So do we know or do you know of any other cities, any other groups of people, families, communities, or what have you thus far that are assisting you or working with you all in promoting and or participating in the practice of the Acoma Day ritual or celebration?
Yes, we do. We've been blessed, again, as I said, to this point, we personally have been traveling up and down. For the last 2 years, we've been traveling up and down the East Coast primarily. And as a result of that, we've met, you know, a tremendous amount of beautiful individuals and organizations that are supporting us. Down in Atlanta, we have two separate groups down there that are actually supporting us and actually have taken some of our concepts to another level. we have an organization down in Atlanta that is called Women Healing Women. And it's actually headed by a great sister down there. Her name is Imani Evans. And
okay.
they celebrate the Acoma holiday.
Imani Evans?
Yes. they actually celebrate the Acoma holiday, and they have actually started, based on some of the exercises in the book, they actually started an Acoma day, an Acoma book club, where they meet once a month, and they deal with some of the principles, and they find books that support the principles and try to deal with them from an African-centered perspective. We also have a couple of groups up in Brooklyn, New York, that are actually big supporters and promoters of the holiday, and are trying to spread the word of the Acoma Day celebration and the holiday. And as we've been moving around, we've run into a lot of great supporters. Like, again, in Atlanta, we have Baba Baruti, who's one of the preeminent thinkers and writers in the Black Liberation Struggle, has put our ideas out and shared some of the concepts and excerpts from the book with the community that supports him, and we've really gotten a lot of responses from that. We also have, and we would be remiss without mentioning, we have the sister. Her name is Ayo Handy Kendi, and she is in the D.C. area, and she is actually the founder of two things. She is the founder of the African American the Holiday Association, where it is a storing house, if you will, of holidays like Acoma Day and throughout the country and throughout the diaspora where Black people, are communing. But she is also the founder of Black Love Day, which is a kind of a precursor to Acoma Day. I believe Black Love Day, if I'm not mistaken, was started in 93, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And it is really a one-day celebration of universal Black love. And so in building on her foundation, we actually try to address the concept of soul meaning. And so we established Acoma Day kind of using Black Love Day as a framework. We made our holiday 7 days, again, with the seven principles and virtues that my wife spoke about earlier, but it's really about the sacred science of soul mating. And that's why the subtext of the book, the subtitle of the book, and the structure of the book is not just information, it is actually a guidebook that is filled with over 30 exercises that actually a family, but specifically a couple, could do. You could do the exercises of parent and child, but they're specifically designed for a mated couple, a soulmate twin couple, to bring their union closer together. And actually, when you go to the website, you can actually see one of the various exercises, and you can actually do one of the exercises out of the book. And so we try to address that aspect. But back to the original point, we get calls regularly. People are supporting us. We get emails. We're on Facebook, and we're out there. People are reaching out to us, and we're blessed that on a monthly basis, weekly basis, daily basis, we're hearing from people, and it's catching on. And we also believe, as you said, Bai, that we're really blessed, because we believe that this holiday has the potential to be another great tool in the unification of the Black consciousness in mind, body, and spirit. And so we're just blessed to be a part of it.
All right. I'm gonna switch speeds just for a quick second, man. And I didn't want to leave this out and not have some kind of discussion about it. But as you all know, yesterday here in Trenton, a young girl was killed, 13-year-old girl Tamara Leonard. who was actually just participating in a block party thrown by our brother, our comrade, Devon Allah,
that's right,
a member of the Black Panther Party, and who's also running for North Ward Councilman, who's actually going to win as North Ward Councilman. And I put on my status today that I don't know a person who is more committed, who is more caring, who is more passionate, and who is more dedicated to the inner city grassroots community and to black people. I don't know anyone. I mean,
right.
Devon Allah works, if you and I work double time, he's working triple time.
That's right.
If we work triple time, he's working quadruple time. You know what I'm saying? That's just how he is. And so the event that he had yesterday, which was very interesting, because I was supposed to DJ the event. And I texted him earlier in the day. Later on, he told me, he said, brother, I was walking down the street with a plate of pasta in my hand when I got your text. And but long to the short, I want to just have you all talk a little bit about and somehow connected to the whole Akoma concept, maybe not Akoma Day, but the whole Akoma concept
right.
of how
right.
someone could drive down the street on Martin Luther King Boulevard and just spray bullets, you know what I'm saying, openly spray bullets into a crowd and kill a young 13-year-old girl in the midst of, I guess, an apparent gang-related shooting.
Right.
I think that something that is in me, Monsho and I are both counselors and teachers by our trade and by our education, and I think that, you know, something that we focus on is the real practice of treating each other like family, whether it is the sister-to-sister relationship, brother and sister, or the actual family, you, your husband, and your children. And I think that it's sad that a lot of times that's missing in our relationships. Even if it's just a stranger, you should have the common courtesy of this is part of the black family. And you know, we were going to be at that event. Our family was going to be at that event. My extended family, my sisters, my sister friends, and their children were going to be at that event. And I think that it shows some of the things that we're missing in our expression to each other on how, even as a stranger, you can open fire into a crowd of black people, into a crowd of children, adults, babies, you know, past people's houses, and drive off after that. You know, the idea that you would think to do that, the carry it out, and then drive off, it's sad. It's very sad, and it's hurtful. And, you know, it speaks to, as you, you know, talked about, our the mentality that we have right now, post-traumatic slave syndrome, and really how we are detached from who we are, and who we are to ourselves, who we are to each other, who we are to the rest of the world. We're really detached from that. And there's a deep sense of healing that we need internally, and we need to do it externally with each other. We can't do it by ourselves, even though we need to focus on ourselves, but we have to acknowledge that we're all together a unified black divinity. And that's something that we're not doing.
You know, I actually was present at the event immediately after the shooting. And the irony of it is, there's many ironies, that it was Martin Luther King Boulevard, that it was an event that was associated with the new Black Panther Party for self-defense, and that it was the glorious Devon Allah that is well known in the Trenton community for being the diligent soldier that you talked about, Bae, but also being one of our true living princes of peace and defense. There's many ironies, but the biggest irony is that as I walked out there and I saw the bullet holes and you know, food plates were shot up, I mean, it was just really literally a drive-by shooting. The thing that is ironic is that within our culture, and it always goes back to practicing alien cultural concepts, this type of thing is unheard of. It's outside of Ma'at. It's outside of any classical African traditional paradigm that we could name on so many levels, just from the standpoint that amongst our cultures of warriors, a weapon like a gun is a coward's tool. It doesn't reflect any skill or any courage or valor that would emanate from a culture of dignity. It is a tool that you can stand far away and shoot into a community regardless of what it hits or what it destroys. And yesterday with the murdering of the sister, it was an example of it. I was with Divine until about 6 o'clock this morning, along with many others who were trying to support the community and the aftermath of the event. It's a devastation, but it really speaks to the need, the urgent need of us returning to principles that reflect our cultural identity, because what is actually happening is, as a people, we're turned inside out, and we're living alien concepts, we're talking alien languages, we're eating alien foods, we're using alien weapons, we're aliens to ourselves. And we need the principles of Akomode and the universal principles of the black family to return to our everyday practice. Because from what I understand, and I'm not in a position to really speak on it, there was some dispute or some gang dispute or whatnot. And, you know, you don't war in African culture like that. There's no such thing as a random war, because war has a purpose, and the right. main purpose is self-defense. You know, these children were not attacking anyone, so there's no need to defend yourself in such a brutal fashion against them. And this young sister came out in a downtrodden community. I read the article, and I heard the excerpts that was in the paper from yourself, Baye, and I thought you stated well that this was another irony. This was a downtrodden community that Divine Allah tried to address and give them a beacon of light for the summer starting to try to create some unity. And in the midst of all this love, free food, free music, free entertainment, and fun for the children, someone rides by and hails a bunch of bullets in the air. And, you know, I hear a lot of times on the liberation scene, people talk alien talk and things like that. You want to see an alien, look in the mirror, because we're living alien concepts and we're practicing an alien culture, and it is moving us further and further away from our center. And the only hope that we have is to return to who we are to prevent these kind of things from happening and to heal from them.
And sometimes it is difficult when these things happen. You want to withdraw more, you know, instead of all of the work that Divine obviously had to go through in order to put on an event like this, to organize an event, to prepare for the event, and to actually carry it out. When you have someone going through, that's months of planning. You know, that's hours of actual work beyond the planning, of someone making the food, bringing the food there, setting it up, breaking it down, all of those things that are involved. And then in what seems like an instant, someone can destroy it or make it seem as though all that effort was for nothing, because there's something overshadowing all of the months of effort. In a few seconds, someone did something so grave that it appears to overshadow what he went through and what everyone else who helped him went through. And it's sad that I know, you know, as a mother or in my family, you're going to want to withdraw. You're going to want to be safe, really. You don't want to withdraw, but you want to be safe. And we need to really come out more. We really need to be together more. We really need to be able to do things within our community instead of either doing nothing, not having anything for young people to do, not having anything for teenagers, children, families to do within our community, instead of always having to feel that we need to leave our community in order to enjoy ourselves.
You know, and, you know, you make a very good point in terms of the constant, consistent work, which is what Divine is doing. You know, after I spoke to Divine yesterday, you know, I felt compelled to call the paper, because he told me when they called him, he said no comment. And I was telling him that, you know, no, you have to make a comment, you know what I'm saying, because if you don't, they will.
Right.
And if they're calling you, at least say, hey, you know, my condolences goes out to the family, such and such and what have you, because this man don't want to see any positivity come out of the situation. So thank God he didn't attack him on this one. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But as you can see, the front page of the Trentonian did not reflect any humanity within them anyway.
That's
no,
right.
They had a 13-year-old girl with her shirt cut open, her bra, and they got her laid out. They would have not have done that if I was a young white girl in Ewing Township.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So I called the paper, and I wanted them to know. I don't know if anyone told them. I said, listen, this brother came out of his pocket. He has consistently have come out of his pocket to get food, entertainment, to give, you know, messages. He has the inflatable, you know, floats out there. The children can get in the bouncy thing.
Right.
And, you know, they have, I mean, all of those things he's been doing since, you know, back in 98 when he and I were doing them together.
That's right.
And he
That's
was
right.
already doing them before that. You
That's
know,
right.
and I can remember Divine back in 1995 and 96 doing Stop the Violence party at King Pulse.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? So, you know, in conclusion of the show, we have less than a minute, man. I just want to, you know, thank you all for coming on the show. This won't be the last show. We'll definitely have you on again. And I will, you know, again, I would say that I would suggest that you all, you know, also get on Harambe Radio. I think that you all need to be on consistently, weekly, you know, talking about the things that you are doing and building a more national voice for the Acoma House
right.
initiative. We can talk about that off, you know, off record, but in conclusion of the show, again, Asante Sana, Motupe Asheo, Asheo for you all coming on. I want to thank you, Marshall and Nawasha, my guest tonight. And we will be back again next Monday. I will have the wonderful Baba Mfundisi and his wife, Abusa Shopness, on next week. And I look forward to that show. And you can see us, you can hear us again next Monday at 9 p.m. in the Liberated Zone. And as we close out, again, I want to give my guest, Marshall and Nawasha, thanks. Peace and blessings.
Thank you for having us.
Most certainly. And Harambe listeners, we will talk and see each other again next week. Modupe Asheo.